محمد نبينا.
Living a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
I never thought about all the things you have given to me. I never thanked you once. I was too proud to see the truth and prostrate to you until I took the first step. And that's when you opened the doors for me. Can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue. Planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun. Such perfect harmony. Let's start questioning ourselves. Isn't this proof enough? We're so blind to push it all aside. No, we just have to open our eyes, our hearts and minds. If we just look right, we'll see the signs. We can't keep hiding from the truth and let it take us by surprise. Protect us in the best way. Guide us every single day. Keep us close to you. Such perfect order, hiding in your cells, running in your veins. What about anger, love and pain? And all the things you're feeling, can you touch them with your hand? So are they really there? Let's start questioning ourselves. Isn't this proof enough? Or are we so blind to push it all aside? No, we just have to open our eyes, our hearts and minds. If we just look right.
Masi sondele, masi sondele, pila no kolo, yelele.
Subhanallah, walhamdulillah.
I can't hear you. I can't hear you. I don't know if you can hear me, but I can't hear you. Can I be there? This is coming in a bit, but it's not. It's just, it has gone again. I don't know if you can hear me. They said I should unmute, but I can't hear anything. I can't hear anything from the studio. I don't know if there's a way to alternatively get a phone that to join so that our voice can come out of that phone and we can start. If you can hear me, then the problem is just look for another phone that will join so that I can hear our voice and I will be able to respond. I think that's a quick way to solve this problem. Wherever the technical issue is coming from, can we just improvise?
Let us visit Mr. Johnson where he stays.
Is he okay?
Mr. Johnson isn't feeling well today.
Oh no! Let us hurry, then it's time. Yes, we will go right away.
A few more moments, if I may.
What for?
I would like to bring a little food to cheer him up. Let us be good neighbors, let us be polite. Neighbors to our left, neighbors to our right.
Neighbors in the back, neighbors in the front. We're neighbors, everyone. Hello, Mrs. Johnson, good day to you.
Hello, everyone, good day to you too.
Mommy sent us here with some food for you. And Mr. Johnson too. How are you, sir? Huh? I heard you're sick and you're not feeling very well.
You're so kind.
So we brought the healthy food to make you well.
Thank you.
It's quiet now. I can't hear anything. Should I be going? Because I have other things I've left this thing for. Has the writer come? Here I am. I cannot hear her, so I can't respond to anything because I can't hear her. Can you hear me? And I said, alternatively, I am on mute. I am not muted. I am not muted. I am not muted. I have left my source of livelihood for this radio. Hi. I'm talking now. Can you hear me? I'm not logged into anything. I'm logged out of Zoom, so it's not maybe I'm my speaker. I'm logged out of everywhere that will take away the keynote. Maybe I should join with my phone and see.
Thing is to now write it out, not just having it in your head that, oh, okay, this is what I want to do. Assalamu alaikum, Stamtiat. Can you hear us now?
You hear me? I can hear you.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. I can hear you finally.
Alhamdulillah.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I don't know what happened with the network, but you know what they say. When life gives you lemons, or life gives you something, you make lemons out of them. Or how is it said again? Yeah, welcome to the show.
Alhamdulillah, thank you for having me. I'm honored to be here.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Before you were able to join, I'd already said a lot of good things about you, read your profile, how you're a transformational coach, communication expert, and so on and so forth. So we're looking forward to have this conversation with you. If you're just joining the show, we're still on Everyday Muslim, and today's topic is money, modesty, and Muslim women, balancing ambition and identity. And joining us on today's show is Hajia Mutia Tolagoke. We've been having some glitches, but alhamdulillah, she can hear us now. So we'll go right into it. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. I said that when you were reading my bio, did you tell them I'm your friend too? Abi, am I not your friend?
Of course, I said that. You are my friend and in fact, my coach. So it's really lovely to have you on the show.
Alhamdulillah.
So, today, many Muslim women, they want to grow. They want to succeed and be financially stable. But deep down, there's that quiet question, you know, am I doing too much? So from your perspective, please share with us, how can a woman pursue ambition without feeling like she's stepping outside her faith?
Okay, so am I doing too much? Is it outside of my faith? The question is faith, I mean, as Muslims, we're talking about us being Muslim, right?
Yes.
Does Islam not allow us ambition?
No.
Does that person believe that Islam doesn't allow us ambition?
No.
Because from where I stand, it does.
No.
The difference is now that there are some checkbacks. Like, there are certain things, you know, that you can pursue ambition within certain guidelines.
No.
But ambition is allowed. Ambition is allowed. But what are the ambition that you have, does it align with the position of the Sharia? Is it an ambition that is aligning with what having faith means? Because there are so many ambitions. I remember that when I was a teenager, at 16, 17, I wanted to become a musician. And fantastic voice. My dad said, God forbid. I'm not going to raise the next generation of, you know. And the same voice that I wanted to use to sing is the same voice that I carry the ambition that I have now as a public speaker and a coach and a teacher.
Mashallah.
But instead of shutting down that particular ambition because it doesn't align with our
musical
values.
Career, yes, because that doesn't allow align.
It doesn't align with that. But it didn't mean that I couldn't have an ambition. It just means that voice that you have, you can channel it in a different ambition.
Indeed.
And well, the next thing that came natural to me was teaching, was speaking and teaching. And using my voice to impact, to sharing. I do have a way with words. And that's why I wanted to do vision. What my father taught me is that there are so many ways you can apply your talent for words outside of music. And that's what I found in teaching and writing and making impact the way that I do now.
So ensure that it aligns with faith without necessarily destabilizing that ambition. Or really getting into
without
the background.
A challenge with my voice, without losing my voice or having to quiet it. So at the end of the day, I was already thinking of being on the stage in the Grammys, and now I'm on stage.
Yes, indeed.
The same stage, stage.
You know,
and doing something that aligns with my faith and aligns with my core self. And I think that I find, in the 17 years of doing this, mashallah, I probably have gotten more fulfillment and alignment than I probably would if I had taken the whole of music. Because the person that I am does not even align with a lot of things that musicians are doing. And even in teaching and coaching, I've had to redefine it from the perspective of my faith. I've had to say no to, say for instance, in the year 2015, I almost got a radio gig, but it came and it would have been fantastic for me. Mm. But it came at a price I wasn't willing to pay. And I stepped back like, okay, I'm not going to pull my exam because I want to be a radio presenter.
Yes,
you know, at that time,
deep.
The opportunity that women radio has given someone like you was not available at the time.
Yes, yes,
and
definitely.
I'm like, no, not on that. So it has all been ambition on my own terms.
Okay.
And at the heart of those terms is my faith and my belief system. Muslim woman.
Ah, mashallah. Thank you for sharing your insights. So basically, you have to ensure that whatever ambitions that you have, you look at it and make sure that it aligns. If it doesn't align with your faith, then you can repurpose it and rechannel it into what aligns with your faith and still is in tandem with your passion. Oh, great, great, great. Thank you. Okay, so, I mean, moving forward, visibility is almost like currency these days, especially in business and career growth, you know. But for a Muslim woman, modesty is non-negotiable. So how does one show up, be seen, and still remain within the boundaries of modesty without feeling pressured to fit in? I mean, because whatever you're doing now, even if you're a business owner, even if you're not a business owner, I mean, even professionals now, even within professions whereby there are things like rules of professional conduct where you're not supposed to advertise, you're not supposed to do this, you're not supposed to do that. But because of the importance of social media and the importance of visibility on social media and outside social media, so that you're ensuring that you're connecting with your people, it's tricky. You know, so you have to be careful not to feel pressured into fitting in. So how does one show up within the bounds?
Okay, so this answer is not for the people who believe that women are not supposed to show up at all. No, women are supposed to be invisible. Because that's the debate or the shege that I found myself lately. And everybody's making me see the face of the women who are showing up on social media. And I'm not. Maybe I am the coach of about 300 of them, but I'm not responsible for the thousands of Muslim women showing
up. That's powerful if you ask me.
Okay, thank you. But it is, I mean, it's a power that comes at a premise. Now I'm the face. Somebody is dancing a full hijab and you're going to say it's Muti's fault. It's not my fault. I don't dance. And somebody says, it's because you're even showing at all. So there are people who believe that Muslim women in particular, in the name of modesty, should not show up at all.
At all.
I don't care at all. No face, no nothing. No. In fact, for some people, even if you put your voiceover on your video, you have shown up.
Subhanallah.
One of my girls, one of my Igwe girls, wrote an article and then she put her name under it. And somebody told her, she shared it on the group and said, somebody told her that it's ishraf for you to even put your name there.
Oh, subhanallah.
Meaning that I can't even copyright my own content. That's how some people see visibility as a problem. Now, we're not talking about those people who have that level of conservativeness. We're talking about what is possible, what is realistic for the average person. And I personally believe that, first and foremost, Allah has permitted us to be visible to some extent. With the provision of hijab. Because where else do you wear the hijab? You wear it outside of your house.
Yes.
I don't wear hijab inside my house. Some people probably do because they have, but I don't. Once I enter my house, the first thing that I fling.
Definitely relate. I'm sure a lot of Muslim women can relate with this.
So for me, the hijab was prescribed so that we can leave the house. So some level of, some degree of visibility is inevitable. Now, how do you leverage that window
without feeling pressured to fit in?
Without being pressured to fit in. First and foremost, the hijab comes first. What does it mean to you? And I'm, I mean, some people say, oh, I don't wear the hijab yet. Perhaps you should strive. One of the reasons I started to wear the full hijab was because I wanted to do public speaking. And then people were like, well, they can see your shape. They can see your this. Okay, so I'm going to wear a shapeless abaya. what I'm not going to. That voice, it's everything that I am.
Yeah.
So the angel provides that for me, and I'm able to comfortably do it because I know that in the very least, I have taken care of what I'm supposed to take care of if I'm going to leave my house.
Yeah.
And then the next thing is that modesty is not just the clothes alone.
Mm.
For us as Muslim, it is aya is not just clothes.
Of course.
It's also the way you carry yourself.
Yes.
What you say, how you say it.
Mm.
Should it even be said? Because there are some things that you do not say. If I want to sell this phone, the factory can decide they want to put somebody who's wearing a bikini holding it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we deserve
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say, and some people may decide that they will even wear hijab, but they want to be dancing with it. I don't dance in public.
Mm-hmm.
Some people may decide that they're going to say something shocking. There are some shocking things that I cannot say because it's beneath I think of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's shocking. Shocking things work. It gets attention. It grabs people to say it is amusing.
Yeah.
And that's why you see some of this content go viral.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is amusing that you have the audacity to say something that shocking.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as a Muslim, I cannot do that. It will go viral, but I will account for every word that comes to mind. So what am I going to say? I'm going to tell you why this phone is beneficial for me as a hijabi. I'm going to tell you what it does for me without offending anybody in the name of shock factor, without offending my own soul too.
Mm.
It can be visible within what is permissible.
Yeah.
And perhaps I think that most of us actually know. The problem is that we want to quick success. We want that quick success. And in that case, I go back to Surah Al-Baqarah where Allah says, seek help with patience and prayer.
Mm.
So when I look at some people that just started using social media 5 years ago, and I'm like, oh Allah, I've been here since 2009? Mm. Is this child? There are things a person can do today that will make them go back, that I can do.
Mm.
But then I'm looking again, seek help in patience. And I'm like, okay. And then one day I sat back. I don't know what we're talking about. Somebody, one of those people that have gone viral, was ranting about how there's no money going viral. You just go viral. There's no money there. And I understand how I make 7 figures every month from just media marketing. And I have never gone viral before. In fact, the closest I went viral was me ranting to my haters. And that didn't send anything. And it's clear that I don't even, what do I need 1 million views for? Do you know what 1 million is?
That's a lot.
A lot of people standing in my local government, everybody in Kopita village coming out to be looking at me, what? More than 200 women. I don't want to sell my classes to more than 100 women per year. So I don't even need 1 million views. I just need 1,000 leads that can give me 100 women who are willing to start now. So question is, what can I do to reach those 100 women? And those things you need to do will not actually make you viral, but they will get you sales. So the kind of content that go viral, that gets attention, doesn't necessarily convert. Ask anybody. And that's why you see that many of the guys that are doing skits, they don't sell anything. Most of the things they sell is brand endorsement.
Yes.
I can pay somebody millions of naira to endorse something. It doesn't necessarily mean it will convert. And they will say it's part of marketing. At least people know.
Yes.
And when you check what these guys are selling, if you too, you want to go viral, can you sell betting? Can you sell betting app? Can you sell Forex app?
Things that are not necessary, that are not halal, that are not acceptable in the deal.
Those are the people that have the money to pay them. Those are the people who the virality.
So what we're saying basically is that how does one show up? By magnifying your competence, by focusing on the good things about your product. What do you have? What services do you offer? And things like that. And sticking to the goal, also the reason behind it, to ensure that
I answer the question effectively for anybody without explaining this. I see if you're selling anything, the question you need to ask yourself to achieve sales is what problem is that thing solving? Who needs it? For instance, who needs this show? Muslim women in careers. Okay. What are the problems you're trying to solve? Confidence. Okay, good. So give them how this show will help them build confidence. Show them results. So focus on content that talk about pain points of your customers. Mm. How does this phone help your customer? It has 6 inches screen. Mm. If your eyes are paining you, you will see it properly. The screen is huge.
Somebody so for said, those, because you sorry to cut you short. It's unfortunate that all the technical glitches, you know, stole most of our time, and we still have a lot of things to touch. But I mean, those insights are really thought provoking, and I want us to quickly talk about money, because sometimes we avoid it. Do you think Muslim women have been conditioned to think small when it comes to wealth? And if yes, how do we begin to break out of that mindset? If we can just talk about this in like five minutes.
So I think that, yes, it's not just Muslim women alone, it's Muslim generally.
Mm.
So the idea of the root of all evil, money is the root of all evil. The rich man, you know that, you know, the rich man, it will be hard for the rich man to enter paradise like a camel through the that belief system.
Mm-hmm.
You have a Muslim has limiting beliefs about money.
Mm.
And then for some of us, our ancestors were not particularly good with. They were also in the bid to teach us to be good. They talk about negative. About if you have money now, you will be arrogant. If you have money now, your money changes.
You don't have time for the deen and all those kind of things.
Well, here's the thing. Our mothers, I'm sure your mom can relate. Say one thing, all these Asalatu women will say, oh, la fisha deen.
Yes.
You will not understand how important that statement is until you enter impact work.
To be able to be good in the deen, to be able to practice the deen effectively, even money is required.
Do you, if you read the Quran a lot, you will know that we between every Jews, you will see Allah will say, Salat wa zakat. Salat zakat. Salat zakat. Tell me how you are going to fulfill the 5 pillars of Islam without money.
No.
Because you can go to Iman, and even on Iman, there's a hadith of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that says that poverty is fitna.
Indeed.
Poverty is
fitna.
Some people are saying that if we're rich, we'll do bad things. And I said, the Middle Eastern countries have lower rates of crime than poorer countries in the world.
Mm.
So money, having money, yes, shifts you to certain vices. But poorer countries have worse vices.
So how do we break out of this mindset?
How do we break out of it? We need to go back to trusting Allah. I think a lot of the mindset about money comes from fear. Or what if I fail? Fear of what if the money comes and I become bad? We need to go back to the root of faith. If I fail, then it is Allah. It is from Allah.
Mm-hmm.
And every outcome, I'm going to put my effort. I'm going to tie my camel. But at the end of the day, I'm going to try my best and leave the rest to Allah. That's for those people who have the fear. For the people who are afraid of failing, then they need to go back to understanding that we do your intention, actions will be judged by intention.
According to
renewal of intention continuously.
Mm.
What do you do with money? Loan Allah the money.
Mm.
With money, you are able to pay zakat. Mm. One of my friends even say that paying zakat is even more light. Because yes, zakat is compulsory, it is you have to pay. But with sadako, you're doing fisabilillah, and he believes that's even more rewarding. Mm. And Allah knows best. You are able to look around you and see the lives of people you will change with money.
Mm.
The impact money will do. Focus on that. Instead of focusing on how money will change you, how money change your neighbor.
Mm.
What does it do? What will you do with it?
Because what you focus on grows.
It grows. Mm. That fear you're focusing on.
Mm.
Another thing that helps me is to also befriend people who have money and are doing positive things with it.
Yes.
Because man will be upon the religion of his friends.
Mm.
If you are moving with beggy people, that's why you think money will change you. Move with people who do big things with money.
Yes.
For instance, I was very lucky to be part of the MMC that had somebody donate his 32 million naira zakat for us to build a learning center for Muslims.
SubhanAllah.
Wow. And that was the first time it occurred to me why we need money.
Yes.
I just would have 32 million naira for zakat in 2018. Mm-hmm. You know what? That's not. It means that they turned over money for 1 year times 40 of that to be able to give us. That's not even all of his zakat.
No.
That's probably part of it. It's hundred.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, rich people are. We are there judging rich people, and they are doing big stuff.
Yes. So we need to focus on what is important, focus on the positives to be able to break out of that mindset. Yeah. Yes, you're still listening to your show Everyday Muslim, courtesy MPAC. And you can call us to join the show. You can call us on 0700-0917-917. We've been speaking with Sister Motiat Olagoke, and it's been a really insightful conversation. Sister Motiat, thank you for being with us. In fact, as it is now, we will have to bring you back on the show because there are so many juicy insights that you've been giving us, which we've not been able to expatiate fully. But also, if we look at, if you had to give practical guidance, real life boundaries, what are those non-negotiables a Muslim woman should set for herself while building her career and business?
Okay, I think there are five boundaries to consider. The first one is spiritual boundaries. Mm. Whatever career you're choosing that is going to stand in the way of your relationship with Allah is not worth it.
No.
If you go to work to say Bismillah, you say Bismillah, it makes it an ibadah. But you know that what you are saying Bismillah to is a sin.
Yeah.
It doesn't have any impact. It doesn't have any social impact or growth impact, and it's withdrawing you away from Allah. Mm. That's not worth it. So, especially Salah. I think Salah is the first indicator. Mm. If you are going to work anywhere, you will make it clear that this is. I'm very proud of my office in the sense that I can see my staff praying Salah to Dua. Not a lot of people have that kind of space, even in Muslim establishments. Mm. My staff will come to work, Salat to Dua. They pray like two Salat, Zuhr and Isha, and Asri at the time.
Mm.
And there's no hoping. That's the kind of ambition you should set for yourself, because no level of success come at that cost. You will have money, but you will take antidepressants if you don't have social boundaries. No offense to anybody struggling with their mental health, by the way. I'm just saying that one of the ways to stay grounded is spiritually. And it's lonely at the top. Mm-hmm. It's lonely at the top. Mm-hmm. But in Allah, you know, Allah mine is something I say to myself when I feel lonely. Allah is with me.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't build that relationship with Allah, how can you say to yourself affirmatively that is with you? And then value boundaries.
Narobi Koribu Mujib. Indeed, my Lord is near and responsive. Those are the self-affirmations that help one to remain grounded.
So value boundaries is also key. You must be clear of what your core values are. First and foremost, you must be clear of what your core values are. One of my core values is chastity. And it shows in the way that I'm very impatient with having men in my DM asking me, give me for people, Madakbara. Like, I used to wonder, am I a man eater? For a long time, I used to wonder until I realized that no. Because my brain is locked on chastity. Anything that looks like we're going to over-mingle, raises my apples. Until I need to tell myself that calm down, the person's on WhatsApp, they're not going to jump you from WhatsApp. So it helps me to, you know, and now I know how to, rules of engagement are clear, and I don't play with my rules of engagement. So know your boundaries, don't promote anything that will go against it. Don't condone anything that will go against it, because even though you think it's just a small sacrifice, to your soul it's not a small sacrifice. It will affect your self-concept. Sometimes you just think, I'm not enjoying this, but I don't know. It's most likely that you are betraying your values. Make sure that whatever you're doing aligns with what your value, and it doesn't contradict your beliefs. Time boundaries is also another thing. Time is money. Not everything is urgent or important. Most people are burned out because they don't, you allot time for everything. Everything is urgent until you faint at work. Nothing is as urgent as your health. And so protect your energy. Say no. I think a lot of Muslim women struggle. A lot of women struggle with saying no.
No is not a bad word.
It is not. And people will gaslight you by saying, yeah, if he's a man. Well, you're not a man. Yes. You are not a man. Let a man do it. But I can do it well if you give me an opportunity to. So don't risk all of your energy. You will burn out. And I'm telling you, when you burn out, it's very hard. It's harder to get up. I think modesty boundaries, we've talked about that. Define what modesty looks for you. Stand by it confidently. It won't be easy. it will take audacity, it will even take losing some opportunities. But trust me, you'll be so close to coming. Eventually, eventually you'll win. And I speak from experience. And finally, identity boundaries. Just because all of us are wearing the job doesn't mean we're the same people. And there's a group mentality thing that Muslims have. And one of the things I've been doing with my content in the last few weeks, without saying it directly because you must watch what you say and how you say it, is to tell people that I'm not one of you. Just because we're wearing the same job doesn't mean we share the same beliefs. Doesn't mean that all of you can gang up against me because you think that I'm one of you. I mean, you're
so different individuals.
Yes, you must be an individual. Now, it's easy for you to have group mentality because the group protects you. The team go. Standing alone is hard. But you see, authenticity is key in career success. Authenticity, let your authenticity be your advantage. It will struggle. People will be like, I own it too much. But eventually, they will say that.
I mean, this is who she is.
And that's something that you want. And I pray that, I mean, Allah knows best. But I think that if you practice any of this, you should be fine.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. These are really thought-provoking insights because we've said that we need to consider spiritual boundaries, we need to look at time boundaries, we need to look at the identity that you have and how to protect it. Also, something stood out for me, you said that don't condone what goes against your normal rules of engagement, because sometimes in a bid to be polite, in a bid to be accepting, to seem approachable, you tend to condone some things, and then over time it then grows bigger than you. So when we are speaking about modesty, you know, money, modesty, and Muslim women, balancing ambition and identity, these are practical steps that you've just shared with us that we can use to ensure that we are thriving in both worlds, with our faith and also, you know, in our business, our careers, and so on. Alhamdulillah, I'm so grateful that you stuck with us, notwithstanding that the network, you know, attempted to mess up this wonderful conversation. It's unfortunate that we're not able to start as early as we wanted to in discussing with you, but I know that our viewers must have really picked one or two things. Thank you so much, Sister Mutiat, for joining us. We appreciate you. I hope that when next we call on you, you'll be able to make out some time for us, because we really have to get back on this conversation. It's a really robust one, and for want of time, we have to wrap it up now. So thank you so much for joining us. Also, thank you to our listeners. I know some people have been trying to call in. The network is really up and down today. I don't know what the issue is, but thank you for trying to call in to join the conversation. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Muslim women, it's really important for us to strike a balance. Striking a balance is the goal. It's not about not pursuing money. It's not about not being modest. It's not about reducing your standards as a Muslim woman, but striving to ensure balance that cuts across everything in our homes, in our career. And we need to realize that we carry so much power. We carry so much identities. We are daughters. We are wives. We are mothers. We are siblings. We are friends. We are colleagues. And so we need to ensure that we are able to show up in all of these spheres of life. And I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aids us in this. There's nothing that we do that we can do on our own. It is Allah that makes it easy. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assists us. I also pray that everyone experiencing one difficulty or the other all around Nigeria and the world in general, may Allah meet them at their points of need, ease their affairs, and make it easy. Thank you for listening. You've been listening to Everyday Muslim on WFM 91.7. The show is sponsored by MPAC Muslim Public Affairs Center, and I remain your host, Laudable Latifa Omotoluwake. Till next time, please always tune in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
To sponsor this program, call the number 0816-480-7613.
I roll deep with the
I am Angel. I didn't try for my